بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This is lesson 17 in the Path of Salvation, our program this Ramadan, where we look at the 20 core virtues of Islam. And last night we were looking at the virtue of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that the virtue of fear is always to be paired with another virtue, and that virtue is hope. Why are these two virtues paired? Fear of Allah and hope in Allah. The reason why they're paired and inseparable is because both fear of Allah and hope in Allah relate to something that is uncertain, something that might happen or might not happen. So a believer, the mu'min, has hope in attaining Allah's pleasure in Jannah, but they also have fear of not entering Jannah because they're not certain about the outcome, what is ultimately going to happen. Because both of these are connected to what is uncertain, they're paired, fear and hope. A person hopes in Jannah and they fear Allah's punishment. These things go hand in hand. And because they are so intertwined and connected, interestingly, one of the words for fear in Arabic is also raja. So the word khawf in Arabic is fear. Another word for fear can be raja, which is the word we use for hope. And this is found in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. What is the matter with you that you do not fear the outcome with Allah? And in this verse, Allah Ta'ala uses the verb tarjun from raja or hope. So hope is one of these words in Arabic that can also have the meaning of fear. They are always to be paired together. Another reason why we pair fear and hope together, and we say they're inseparable, is because if you have fear of Allah Ta'ala without hope in Allah Ta'ala, that will lead you to yets or despair. And if you have hope in Allah Ta'ala but without any fear, then you will be guilty of al-amin min makrillah, feeling safe from the plotting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person has only one of these two, they are led to some negative outcome. The person who has hope without fear is guilty of amin, meaning they feel safe from the plotting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah warns about this in the Quran when He says, وَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. That no one feels safe from the plotting of Allah except those who are losers. On the other hand, if a person has fear without hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they fall into yets, which is despair, despairing of Allah's mercy. And Allah says about this, وَلَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. No one despairs of the mercy of Allah except a people who are disbelievers. So if you have a feeling of safety from the plotting of Allah, that is a major sin. If you have a feeling of despair from the mercy of Allah, that too is a major sin. And depending on the attitude behind it, it could even be worse than an ordinary major sin. It could even lead a person to kufr, disbelief, wal-iyadu billah. Now, one of the great imams we've talked about before, Shaykh Ahmad Zarruq, rahimahullah, he talks about the nature of hope and fear, and he says that the generosity of Allah Ta'ala dictates that there is no sin that is too great for Him to forgive. Yet the majesty of Allah Ta'ala, His Jalal, His Azama, dictates that He does seize people on account of their disobedience and does not let them get away. So a servant must look to both of these virtues at all times. Even if that person obeyed Allah all of their life with the greatest acts of ibadah, they can never feel safe from the plotting of Allah. And if they disobeyed Allah with all of the greater sins, they should never despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we speak about these two together because they are inseparable. Last night we talked about fear on its own, and tonight we talk a little bit about hope on its own. How are we defining raja as a spiritual virtue? The ulama mention that it is desiring what is with Allah Ta'ala with the condition that a person works to acquire the means to that thing. So hoping in Allah's mercy is not relying on His mercy as a pretext to do anything and everything displeasing to Him. Just as a person, if they wish to set sail, they have to build a boat. But they cannot build that boat in the middle of the Sahara Desert in hope that it's going to sail in the seas. They have to get near the water. Likewise, the person who has true hope in Allah Ta'ala, they work towards the means that will attain what they hope in. Some of the ulama say that raja as a virtue is the heart's attachment to something beloved that they hope and long for occurring in the future, and desiring Allah's blessings that will unfold in the future. So all of these definitions revolve around something very simple and really self-explanatory: to have hope in Allah and His mercy. What's important here, as we talk about how the two are inseparable, fear and hope, we have to talk a little bit about what is the difference between hoping in Allah's mercy and forgiveness, what we call raja, and what is called wishful thinking. Right, wishful thinking, tamanni, is where a person, they act as if they have hope, but it's not really hope, it's based on delusion. It's just wishful thinking. The ulama say that hope, the real raja, is what drives you forward. You actually seek that thing you hope in, and you try to avoid the things that will block you from attaining what you hope in. Wishful thinking, on the other hand, is described as laziness and inaction. The person who says they hope to have a lot of money, but they don't do anything to acquire money. They just sit at home as if it's going to fall out of the sky. We wouldn't say this person genuinely hopes to have money. We say they have wishful thinking that by their laziness, it will just land in their lap. That's not true hope. Hope will drive you forward to seek the thing you hope in until you obtain it. Wishful thinking, however, will have you sitting on your laurels, not doing anything. Imam Ibn Ata'illah, he speaks about this, and he says that hope is that which is paired with action. If it's not paired with action, it is tamanni, it is wishful thinking. We see this distinction between hope and tamanni, wishful thinking, in the Quran. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in a couple of places the qualities of the believers. In one verse he says, those who believed and migrated and struggled in the path of Allah, they are the ones who have true hope in the mercy of Allah. Yarjuna rahmatullah. They are the ones who have hope in the mercy of Allah. That description of hope is coming after Allah says they believed and they migrated and they struggled in the cause of Allah. It is they who truly have hope in Allah. So Allah pairs hope with those actions. One of the great imams, Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, he says, what is meant by hope is that when someone has a shortcoming, they have a good opinion about Allah and they hope that He erases their sin. And the one who is obedient hopes that Allah will accept his good deeds. As for the one who plunges into disobedience, hoping that he is not taken to account, one who is bereft of remorse and does not give up his sinful acts, this, he says, is ghurur. It is delusion. And then he quotes the statement of one of the early imams, Abu Uthman al-Hiri, one of the individuals mentioned by Imam al-Qushayri in his Risala, who says, one of the signs of sa'ada, of attaining eternal happiness, is that you obey Allah Ta'ala and you fear that your obedience may not be accepted. And a sign of shaqawa, of wretchedness, is that you disobey, yet you hope in salvation. So this is a hope that drives you forward, taking the means to obtaining the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we talk about fear and hope being paired. But the question now is fear and hope, are they opposites to one another? What do you think? You know, black and white, hot and cold. Is hope the opposite of fear? Think about it. It's not the opposite. Fear and hope are not opposites, because hope is a companion to fear. يصاحب الخوف. It goes together with خوف, with fear of Allah. And the reason why is that both fear of Allah and hope in Allah propel you forward, and they don't take you into opposite directions. When you fear Allah, you go forward in striving to obey Him and avoid the haram. When you have hope in Allah, guess what happens? It also propels you forward to obey Allah and to avoid the haram. They're not taking you in opposite directions. They're taking you in the same direction, which is striving to seek the pleasure of Allah. But they go hand in hand. One is a state of expansion, the hope. The other is a state of constriction. But the end goal of both of them is to propel you forward in seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hope is like this relaxation or expansion in the heart, and fear is this pain and constriction, but they both take you to the same destination, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the ulama talk about these two, and they say that these are states, and all states are comprised of knowledge, states and actions. So you have the state of fear and the state of hope. With fear, there is the knowledge of your own sins and shortcomings, the knowledge of Allah's punishment and His majesty, and with that comes a state of trepidation, of fear, of constriction, and with that you are propelled into action, which is abstaining from the haram, doing what is required, making tawbah, making things right. The same thing goes for raja. Raja is based on the knowledge of Allah's mercy, His karam, His forgiveness, and that leads you to a state of inshirah, of this expansion and this longing and yearning for obtaining the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. With that state, you are then propelled into action, moving forward to attain what you hope in, what you are hoping for. So fear and hope always have to go hand in hand. And we mentioned last night that some of the ulama say that when you're older and towards the end of your life, hope should predominate, but fear should always be there. You have to have both. The question then is, we spoke about how one may obtain a stronger degree of fear of Allah last night. How do we obtain a higher degree of hope in Allah Ta'ala? We know that Allah Ta'ala commands us to never lose hope in His mercy and forgiveness, even if we have committed many sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins except that sin of al-ishraku billah, associating partners with Him in worship. And even that sin can be forgiven if the person makes tawbah before they die. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Certainly for you in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a beautiful example. For whom? For those who hope in Allah and the last day and remember Allah abundantly. So we strengthen our hope by strengthening our iman in our conviction in the oneness of Allah and His mercy and generosity and forgiveness. We strengthen our hope by al-iqtida, by emulating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is our uswa, our goodly example. We strengthen our hope by the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala loves for His servants to seek forgiveness when they have sinned and erred. We strengthen our hope by relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not relying on our good deeds. This is very important, because a lot of people, they do righteous actions and they begin to rely on the actions, thinking, well, it's the actions that are going to save me. But the reality is the actions are a mercy from Allah Ta'ala. It's His mercy that He accepts them from you. So that means ultimately it is the rahmah of Allah that you're seeking, or that you should seek. So relying on the rahmah of Allah and not one's good actions, and realizing that the good actions that we do are actions Allah gives us a tawfiq to do. And He is not benefited by anything we do. We don't increase Allah Ta'ala in anything in our righteous actions. Our sins likewise do not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if our actions are good, we rely on Him. If our actions are bad, we make tawbah and we seek forgiveness and we rely on Him. We also increase our raja, our hope, by knowing that the mercy of Allah Ta'ala encompasses all things. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Allah says in the Quran, My mercy encompasses all things. كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ شَيْءٍ You are a thing and I am a thing. Therefore, the rahmah of Allah also encompasses us. Just to have that knowledge and awareness will increase a person in their hope in Allah's mercy. Also, the ulama say, a way you increase your raja, your hope in Allah, is to know that Allah only tests you to purify and refine your soul and only gives you what you can bear. And to remember that one of Allah's names is Shakur, the one who is appreciative and grateful, who appreciates the small good deeds and does not leave any small good deed unrewarded. Allah Ta'ala does not wrong anyone. So if you turn to Allah sincerely, Allah accepts it from you. You have to have fear. You have to have that, of course. But you have to also have this hope and have tasdeeq. You have to have acknowledgement and belief, conviction that Allah forgives sins, that Allah has mercy, that Allah will overlook your mistakes, especially when you recognize them and you seek forgiveness and you try to get rid of them and you make tawbah. And lastly, to understand that if you have raja, you will be among the devoted servants. If you have the quality of hope in Allah Ta'ala, you will be among the devoted servants of Allah Ta'ala. Allah describes the believers in the Quran and says, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ He says, they are the ones who forsake the sides of their beds and they call upon their Lord خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا out of fear and hope. A different word is used here for hope, but it's still hope. Fear and hope, and out of what we have provided them, they spend. وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا Right? Allah also describes the believers as those who call upon Allah out of fear and out of longing and hope for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, dear brothers and sisters, if we are to cultivate true hope in Allah ta'ala, we have to understand something critically important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hate you. Allah ta'ala does not hate you. Allah ta'ala does not want bad for you. And you have to get out of your mind this idea that if you are struggling with certain bad habits, that Allah is out to get you and doesn't want good for you. You struggle with sins because you're a human being. You struggle with sins because it's the nature of the dunya. We have shahawat and that we have to overcome and strive against. If you struggle with those things, understand it's not because Allah hates you or Allah wants bad for you. You have to banish that idea, banish that evil of despair and think that Allah Ta'ala cannot forgive you. No one should ever reach a stage where they think, I've done so much that it's over for me. Allah is not going to forgive me. And we have the good example in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he describes that individual from Banu Israel who killed how many people? 99 people. And what happened to him? He wanted to know if he had a way to make tawbah. What did he do? He went to this person who was outwardly a very pious person. You know, this is a person of ibadah, of fasting and prayer and dhikr. But that person was jahil. They were ignorant of the deen. So when he asked that person, do you think I have tawbah? This person, this abid jahil, ignorant, pious person said, I don't think so. I think you're doomed. You're done for. And that became victim number 100. He killed him. And then later on, who did he encounter? He encountered an alim, a scholar, someone who knows the deen. And he asked them the same question. And he told him, yes, you have tawbah. Tawbah, the doors are open for you. However, what do you have to do? You have to leave this village, this city you're in, because the influence is really bad on you. You have to go and migrate to a place where the people are better. And we know the hadith, what happened. On his way to that better place, he died. And so the angels of punishment and the angels of mercy were contesting with one another, to whom does he belong? Is he for the angels of punishment to take and hasten the punishment? Or is he for the angels of mercy to take and envelop in mercy now that he's died? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered those angels to measure the distance between his actual village from which he was migrating and the good village to which he was migrating. And he said, whichever village he's closest to, he'll be grouped among those people. So if he's with the bad people, nearer to the bad village, then the angels of punishment take him. If he's closer to the good village, the angels of mercy take him. Now, which one was he closest to? To the bad village or the good village? He was actually closer to the bad village. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the earth to fold up its distance so that when it was measured, he was actually closer to the good village, and so the angels of mercy took him. So even though technically he was very fresh into that tawbah and was technically closer to the bad village, Allah's mercy enveloped him and he was counted among the people in the good village and the angels of mercy took him. Now the point of this hadith also is that when you have religious struggles, you can't go to the jahil person who just happens to be pious and religious. Just because a person is outwardly religious doesn't mean they have the knowledge and the ability to tell that person what is best for them in their deen and what is actually the fact of the matter. So it's better to go to the alim who doesn't cause him to despair of the rahmah of Allah. That is so important. And we see a lot of that on social media, don't we? We see that with the culture of preaching and reminders. You come across those types of preachers who really cause people to despair of Allah's mercy. They just preach to them standards that are really unattainable for them and make them feel that no matter what I do, I'm doomed, so why bother, right? The discourse has to be one of telling them they have to make tawbah without making them despair of Allah's mercy. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.